Thanks for listening to The Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Well, Dr. Drew phones into the first half of the show, and we break down this whole mess with everyone out in the streets and incubation periods of COVID-19 and how, well, you'll see it's all nonsense, but he'll tell you about the technical sides of what's going on out in the streets and then what could be going on in the hospitals as people spread the disease or not. We also take your phone calls as well. First, bet online. Nothing to bet on, right? Wrong. Bet Online has hundreds of events planned and games and props to wager on. They bring Vegas to your online poker and blackjack. They'll bring it right to you online 24/7, by the way. Plus, Bet On Live, Daily Madden, NFL, 20 simulations, stocks, Nathan's hot dog eating competition. That's coming up. NASCAR's back on, and it ain't virtual anymore. They're doing it. MMA fans, UFC 250s, June 7th. So that's right around the corner. Stay tuned to this podcast to hear former MMA star Chael Sonnen and Bet Online's Dave Mason talk about things, all things, I should say, UFC 250, including the latest betting lines as well. Bet Online, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. You sign up for a free account with promo code Podcast One, and you get a sign up bonus. Visit betonline.ag. Don't forget, use the promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus.
Podcast One presents. This is a collect call from Sing Sing.
My name is John J. Lennon. I'm locked up for selling drugs and committing murder. I'm also a contributor for Esquire magazine and the Marshall Project. So I'm a writer and I'm a prisoner. Imagine trying to stay focused and talk about issues of substance with geeks slamming, prisoners screaming, and PAs blaring in the background.
Get new episodes every Wednesday on Spotify, Podcast One, and Apple Podcasts.
Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Jeff Cesario and Dr. Drew. With Gina Grad on news and Vault Brian on sound effects. And now, breaking down the breakdown, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for listening through these very interesting times. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
What I do now.
Dr. Drew should be popping up soon. The reason I got up this morning and I was like, I want to talk to Dr. Drew because some people made some mention of, you know, quarantining and self-quarantining and distancing and social distancing and all that kind of shit. And obviously, it's been a madhouse over the last week here in these United States. And I'm not sure when the first protest began, but it's been a week or close to it, if it hasn't been a week.
Wednesday-ish.
And I guess it started in Minnesota, but we have just conducted a little experiment, which we took almost every major city in the United States, took a whole bunch of people, put them in a very condensed area with no social distancing and some masks, but a lot of yelling and also a lot of tear gas, which makes a lot of coughing, sneezing, and expelling. You know what I mean?
Droplets.
Yes. Expanding
right.
Yes.
So if we don't see a massive spike in this coronavirus now, then something's up. Then we've miscalculated something, or whatever it is we're telling people to do or not to do on the beach turns out to be null and void in my mind. If you can't lie down on the beach, then mass gatherings or people on physically on top of each other, putting their hands on each other, tear gas and coughing in each other's faces. If we don't see something big like now, and everyone goes, well, it's 2 weeks, but it's not 2 weeks. It's like 3 days to 5 days. 2 weeks is kind of the max. I think we're going to talk to Drew and we'll probably see 80% of the shit would be in, I think, 3 to 5 days, which we're at now. So we should see a big swell. I know my camera's a little funky of this. And if we're not, then we have to rethink our policy about the beach. I do believe Maxipad is rebooting my camera so you guys can see it. I'm not sure if it, Maxipad, does it go off or how's it work? You can yell.
We can hear you.
I guess it just goes off every once in a while. But.
It just goes off, I guess. All right.
Well, the old color test pattern.
Don't worry about the camera for now, Chris. Let's boot up Drew and see about this. And also,
how does the gay pride flag?
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Chris. And also, it's so much of this shit is so fucked up and self-imposed. Like, I live in a neighborhood. There's nothing going on. Looters couldn't find it on a map and so on and so forth. So I had all. So my son said to me. Sonny said to me yesterday. He said, "Hey, do you want to go to Carney's and get hot dogs tonight? That's kind of a treat for us, which I love." But I also said something I haven't done in a while. I said, "How about a hot dog party? How about a hot dog party?" Hold up on Drew for a second, Max Pata. Sorry.
Hot dog party. I think hot dog party.
Yeah.
Call the authorities.
My daughter was there with, she had about three of her friends. As formally discussed, my daughter's now hanging around with three or four friends in the house, ignoring all her own policies. Uh-huh. None of the boys come over or go around or have any contact with them. The girls, it's on. Boys, nothing. They're all just sitting alone playing video games in their bedroom. So I said to the girls, do you want to have a hot dog party tonight? They said, yes, we do.
Jesus.
You got to rephrase that.
Buddy, come on.
I get it. It's like the fucking governor talking about tennis balls. Someone, your balls drop.
Don't touch your balls.
Kick the balls, you know. I get it, you sophomores. The joke's over. So I said, you guys, and Natalia went, yeah, and the girls were like, yeah, and I was like, what do you want? You want the chili dogs? You find the chili? I got the hot dog chili, like I've told you about. It's not like chili. It's not like Hormel chili. It's like hot dog chili, right? I found a few cans of that and blah, blah, blah. And I said, okay, I'm going to go do the podcast. And then on the way home, I'm going to swing by the Ralph's and I'm going to get the hot dogs and the buns and the this and the that. And I come home to my neighborhood, which is empty and quiet and as it normally is. And I go pulling into the market and the guy's standing out front like, curfew, man. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Curfew.
Right.
Curfew.
I too tried to swing into the store on the way home and right. No dice.
Right. Except for who gives a shit because there's nothing going on in my fucking neighborhood. Why does this Band-Aid have to cover the entire nation? Like, good. Right. Curfew. Santa Monica. Fine. Not where I live. There's nothing going on there. Let businesses decide. Let them. It's their store. They don't want to be looted. Anyway, so
my thinking was the loophole was going to be you're allowed to be on the street if you're driving to or from work. So I figured grocery stores would stay open because technically they're going to be driving home from work. So I was hopeful, but no.
All right. Drew is on now. I don't know if he's in his car or if we have the connection.
Yeah, he's driving. He's driving from Orange County right now.
Okay. Drew, are you?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. All right. So massive demonstrations over the last 5 days, at least. People on top of each other. Nothing in the way of safety or precautions. When should we see this giant swell? When are the hospitals going to be overwhelmed? Are the hospitals overwhelmed?
Well, I'd first point to that Ozark pool party where everyone knows there was a massive outbreak after that.
Right.
Oh, no, wait a minute. There was one case. And we don't know that she contracted it there.
Right.
And to your point, the fact that this is all out of doors makes anything about gathering out of doors null and void if there's not a major outbreak. And finally, to your last point, it's 3 to 7 days, 80% are in. So at 7 days, we should see something. We probably will, frankly, see something, but it won't be, oh my God, the hospitals are full. It'll be a little outbreak here and there, and that'll be that.
So we're going on day six of the demonstrations as you guys hear this, or seven as you hear this. So we don't need 2 weeks. We need one week for 80%. And 80% is
2 weeks. 2 weeks is to guarantee safety about that one person. But
right.
In terms of when somebody's going to develop symptoms after they've been exposed, 80% are in within 7 days.
Okay. So are we seeing a uptick in hospitalizations, or are the hospitals being overrun or overwhelmed, or what is going on?
Nothing like that. In fact, the University of Washington just put out new data this weekend, and there's a really strange thing happening in California where the way I'm interpreting the data looks to me like we actually closed down too early. We closed down so early that we pushed infections late in this thing, right? Like right now. And so these demonstrations are right in the middle of where California is staying stubbornly static and not turning down. So probably we'll see a little uptick, but who knows? I mean, who knows?
Well, as far as the uptick goes, I don't know what's going on in Minnesota, but they started this thing 6 days or so ago. I mean, we would just see a big surge in Minnesota.
Let's put it this way. There's going to be nothing in proportion to the fear we all had about going outside.
Yeah, but what about the danger? And, oh God, those bitches on TV, there's like, if someone lays their towel out, who's going to move them? Like, right. God, you fucking idiots. You're so fucking irresponsible. You're so irresponsible. They go, I'm irresponsible. You're irresponsible. Fuck you. You're scaring the shit out of everyone over fucking nothing, you idiots. Well,
where are they now? Where are they now?
I don't know.
How come they're not just beside themselves?
They should be.
Why aren't they completely?
Because they don't give a fuck. Because they've moved on to racism. That's why. They're done with this. They're moving on to racism. That's the way it goes, everyone. They're trying to make money. Fine. I get it. It doesn't mean you have to listen to them. That's my whole point. It's not their fault. They're trying to make money. They want to sell ad space. I get it. Why do we all fucking echo everything the nutjobs say, the Chicken Little say when their fucking head is on fire all the time? Yes, they go nuts over the pool party at the Ozarks. What was that 3 weeks ago? When was that? Where's the follow-up?
Yeah.
What happened? All right. Here's our lead story. Nutty people, irresponsible, Ozarks, pool party. Good. Now, 4 days later, tell us about how the hospitals are being overwhelmed. Except there is no follow-up.
One.
We move on to the next irresponsible case. I don't know if they know what they're doing. Anyway, the point is this, Drew. Can we go to the fucking beach in L.A. and do what we want? Can we now, Gavin fucking Newsom? Is that okay with you? Jesus Christ, what else do you need to know?
Hey, man, it's good vibes and leading with love from Garcetti's office and from the city of Santa Monica. And it's, you know, just kind of cool out, Adam.
Fuck you. I'm not cooling out anymore. I want to go to the fucking beach. I'm tired of you assholes being in charge. Go ahead.
I had heard the pool was one of the safest places to be because you're dousing yourself in chlorine, essentially. You're wading in bleach.
Out of door, the Chinese did a study. They looked at 300 outbreaks, 1,500 cases. The average, 70% of cases were in the home. And when they happened in the home, they essentially infected the whole household. The 30% happened in transportation and vehicles and elevators, that sort of thing. Out of the 300 cases they tracked, one was out of doors. And that was a one-to-one trend. It was the only one that was not a three to five person outbreak. It was one-to-one.
And that was two people having sex outside. So what are you going to do?
Correct. You read the study, Gina.
All right. So, you know, like I was at the Mexican restaurant place that I love so much in my neighborhood doing the takeout with the barricade of tables in front of me and the tape on the floor. And Natalia was spraying down the fucking bag with Lysol when I brought it in. All the nachos taste like Lysol now. And it's like, I'm saying to the guy behind the counter, I said, when are we opening up here? Like, when can I come here? Yes. I enjoy your food, but taking Mexican food home with a margarita and a styrofoam cup is not quite the same as eating there and getting the salt on the edge of the glass cup. And he's like, maybe next week, like maybe they'll let us open up next week. Can we just fuck off and just everyone just open up? We've opened up. We've already opened up. The riders opened everything for us. The cops opened everything for us. It's open. It's now wide open. Just fucking go back to business, everyone. Fuck this shit. These guys are insane. And I have a question. Do you have that? Remember when Gavin Newsom came in here and I was arguing with him about traffic? One of the many things I want to know what the fuck he wanted to do about traffic.
You're the traffic man.
Right.
You are the traffic.
I told, because I think there may be something afoot here. And I told Max Pat to pull that clip. How long is that clip?
It's a couple seconds.
All right, so here it is. Sorry,
I saw a billboard out on the 405 says you're not stuck in traffic. And you're thinking, how the hell? What does that mean? It says you are traffic, which I kind of like. Which
I kind of like. Okay,
so clever. So clever.
He doesn't want to. Here's the thing. Now here's what the deal is, and here's what I'm starting to believe. You think, well, we have the most traffic in the United States, in the world, probably here in L.A. So the governor of the state that L.A. is in would probably like to solve the traffic problem. The answer is no, he doesn't want to solve the traffic problem. He wants the traffic problem to get worse so we can get out of our cars. He has a plan.
That's the stated goal of the lane diet people.
Right.
He's part of it.
Right.
That's their goal.
Mark Garagos just got a bike lane put in front of his restaurant, 10E in downtown. Like, they just took a two-lane highway, made it into a one-lane highway, and literally just put a bike lane directly in front of his restaurant. I think you can find a picture of that, Max Pat. The point is this. They got a plan, and their plan isn't our plan. Their plan is their plan, and they want us out of our cars. And I'm wondering how much Gavin Newsom would like to change our economy. I don't know if he wants full control over the economy. I don't know what he wants us to do, but he wants us to do something, and this appears to be an opportunity for him to do it. Otherwise, we should have opened up a month ago, like Texas and Florida and Georgia. We should have just opened up. So if we're not opening up, then what's going on? And then what's behind it? And is it the same motivation that's behind traffic, which is we have a bigger plan than you're aware of? I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm just saying what it doesn't mathematically make sense anymore. Businesses are going under. I keep forgetting my sister has a hair salon. It's done. It's over with. She has a small hair salon in Topanga. It's her and her helper. She has a clientele. They're in the middle of Topanga. They've been shut down for 3 months. She told me a week ago. She's like, I'm done. I'm not going back. I'm out of business. That's it. I'm under. All right. You're fucking under. There's the bike lane that I think's in front of Tenny, which is Garrick's restaurant.
There's the road diet.
Right. Well, by the way, I would be over the moon if I saw tons of citizens on bikes in the bike lanes. It's an empty bike lane. This isn't fucking Amsterdam. Yes, sorry, Drew.
It's something like if we can get more people into our voting pool, meaning you're dependent on the state. And then we just asked the federal government to print money. That's what the budget office has said in California. Hey, we can't print money. You guys just print the money. No big deal. Just print it and hand it over. As though, I mean, it was the most stunning, bizarre thing I've ever heard when I talked to the chairman of the budget office. I couldn't believe it. It really, it's like, what planet are we on here where people, you just print money? That's how money works?
By the way,
where did you get your economics degree?
When I want a blowjob, I tell Lynette she has to talk to the chairman of the economic office, and I pull my junk out. That's my move.
I have a quick question for Dr. Drew and Adam, because I'm sure you've heard this phrase before, but the only place I've ever heard it was at the airport. And I believe it was from Adam Conover, Adam Ruins Everything, a couple years ago, but I think we're seeing it again. The phrase security theater. Where they say, you know, they're kind of making this up as they go along. Okay, you can open and this is phase two, but this is part of phase three, but this is phase 2B.
Right.
And you don't really know why. And there's nothing
absolutely, absolutely arbitrary.
Yeah.
100% arbitrary. This is what I've been saying from the beginning. They set arbitrary endpoints on when we can open up. And I said, why? We don't. There's actually no data that wearing a mask and social distancing is different than lockdown in terms of viral transmission. The idea of quarantining healthy people is a new idea. High school students, a high school student science project whose father then built a computer model off of her project, published a paper. He put her as the second author on the paper, and the Bush administration adopted this as policy.
All right.
Never in history have we locked down healthy people.
Here's my point. Are we pussies or are we dumb? This is stupid, a liar. Pussies are dumb. I don't give a fuck anymore. Everyone should just go back to work. There's nothing going on. I want to see some cases rolling in. If I don't see cases rolling in from all the protesting all over the country, everyone in everyone's face, spitting and fighting, then this, whatever your premise was, it was false. It doesn't exist. I don't know if you're doing it to fuck with your people. I don't know if you're doing it because you have a bid to run for president one day, but whatever it is, I'm done listening. I'm fucking going about, well, actually, I never did listen. Let's be honest.
When did
citizens,
you start?
Go the fuck back to work. Or go to the beach, for fuck's sake. Jesus Christ. All right. So unless we see something in the next 10 minutes of hospitals being overrun, just think about how wrong they are about everything constantly. How about all those speeches? How about all the speeches 10 minutes ago when we're talking about Georgia's going to reopen or Florida's going to, hey, those governors have blood on their hands. It's going to be a killing field. Okay, you were wrong. You're wrong about everything. You're always wrong. Now shut up. Shut up. Fucking apologize and shut up. You should fucking be put in a fucking timeout. Nothing else should come out of your fucking mouth, you fucking imbeciles. You lied. Or worse, you just don't know what the fuck is going on, but shut up. Blood on their hands, shut down, hospitals overwhelmed, next wave, second wave, be prepared for the second wave. Fucking idiots. And what are you people listening for? What are we also fucking scared for? These idiots, they're in the scare business. It's their business to scare us. Why do we're fucking Charlie Brown going for the football. Lucy's holding the fucking scare ball. Why we go for it every time? What's in our wiring? Yes.
Oh, well, please. Yeah, the leadership is, I can't even express how bizarre that is now, but there is a possibility here that we will see a second little peak here.
I don't give a fuck. It's time to go back to work.
But the point is, then what? What's their position then? You allowed this to happen. You were so responsible. Do you have blood on your hands now? Now you guys have blood on your hands because you let this happen, a second peak? Oh my God, the most vulnerable amongst us. Here we go.
Everyone who died, look, I said it from the word go. Why they keep saying over 60? Why can't we get ages on these people? These fucking HIPAA laws, bullshit. Don't say the person's name. Just say an 87-year-old died in a nursing home in Arcadia. Fine. Instead, another body over 60. Don't mention the nursing home. Don't mention the age. I was onto this at the fucking beginning. Why aren't you telling us? From the very beginning, we should have had two graphs. We should have had a graph that had people over 70 in nursing home, morbidly obese, diabetes, compromised. One graph. And then another graph just says healthy people under 60. And then the one graph would be fucking nothing. And the other one would be one of the Twin Towers. And then we'd have perspective. But we never did that, did we? We could have done it. It was easily done. But they're in the scare department. Oh, do we have Garcetti's got an answer? All right.
Oh, terrific.
We got our mayor. It's going to help this.
I can't wait.
Are you going out there each and every day to help erase whether the gender inequities that we have or to embrace our LGBTQ brothers and sisters, to look at our Native brothers and sisters who suffer at as deep a level as our African-American brothers and sisters? This is what this moment should bring us to. Not just the scream, but the next day, the joining of hands together and figuring out how we walk as one.
All right. So have you guys reached out to the Native American community yet?
It's on my action item list.
They're supposed to call me back.
Okay. Drew, have you gone down and reached out to the LGBTQ plus community?
I'm sorry. Hold on. I'm just finishing vomiting.
All right. Should we hold hands? Okay. I thought we shouldn't hold hands.
Don't hold hands.
We got to reach
out. Social distance. No. Do not hold hands.
I'm still trying to rustle up a young black man and sit down and hear his truth from earlier, from yesterday. I'm going to do that.
Listen, of course we all want to have unity and get together, and of course we're outraged by the situation in Minneapolis. He has a society coming apart on his hands. And he's the one that locked everybody down, that created all this pent-up energy.
All right. So,
I mean, this guy, talk about blood on your hands. Oh, my God.
Jesus fucking Christ. We have a full-blown pussy running the entire fucking city. I've told you about this a million times. Now, chickens have come home to roost. All right. So, if we should be hearing about 80% of it is in 3 to 7 days. So we're right in there. Hospitals should be overwhelmed, and they're not. So let's go about our fucking business. And for fuck's sake, the beaches should be wide open. There should be no rules on the beaches at all. It's like, oh, you got to walk, but stay 6 feet apart, but stay on the wet sand, but not on the dry sand, but don't lay out a towel. Right. Fuck that. Everyone just go to the beach and do whatever the fuck they want. It's done.
It's probably the best place they could go. And let's parse it out a little bit. I mean, 3 to 7 days, I bet we'll see a little uptick, but we will not over. The whole point of the lockdown was not to overwhelm the hospital system. And you will see that even with all this exposure, we will not overwhelm the hospital system.
Can I float a theory, and you guys feel free to shoot holes in it? But it just occurred to me. I just from the videos I've seen, what percentage of the people are wearing masks at the protest? 50? Ish,
yeah. Higher. It looks like,
yeah. 60%.
Yeah.
So none of them are. By the way, I'd say half of the ones that were wearing masks did not have it over their nose,
right?
And the virus is transmitted nose to nose.
So it just occurred to me, between that and the fact that it's a bit of a self-selecting sample. Like, these are obviously people who tend more towards the left, and thus I would stand to reason there are people who would have observed social distancing and quarantining much more seriously than, I don't know, the average person. Would that be a reason why you'd see a smaller uptick in cases as opposed to a mass outbreak?
I would say, first of all, they look like they've been practicing careful social distancing. I mean, I'm more freaked out than they are. But be that as it may, they're very likely to be asymptomatic carriers. That's the big problem.
Okay.
That's the Achilles heel in this whole thing. When they looked at the homeless populations, something like 70% of them were asymptomatic carriers. So as you get into healthier and healthier populations and people are out and about it, and not that the homeless are healthy, it's that they're sort of adhere to Adam's theory about immune systems. And asymptomatic carriers are bound to be in that group.
All right, let me get a plug out for Drew. Max, we should follow this up, because the stuff from Minnesota has got to be coming in these days. Now, look, it's impossible that there's not an uptick, but according to what we've been hearing over the last 2 months, there should be a tidal wave of cases,
right.
Because there's thousands of people who are throwing every bit of advice to the wind. It's like thousands of people face to face, screaming, tear gas, shouting, wrestling. There should just be a wave of this. And if there's a little swell of this, and it still means everything they said essentially is wrong. All right. The website is drdrew.com. You can go there for all this live stream podcasts and all that as well. So we can check that out. Thanks for joining, Drew. I appreciate it.
All right. See you tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, Drew.
Bye, guys.
Let's see. Minnesota health officials expect a spike, except for where's the spike? That's what I'm saying. The period of time has been long enough to get a spike, but we'll see. All right, we'll keep it covered. I'm just saying, everyone just go to the fucking beach and do whatever the fuck they want. I'm going to go to the beach. I'm going to lay in my belly. My son put a bottle rocket in my ass, and I'm going to fire it up into the sky. That's what I'm going to do.
Freedom.
All right, let's see. We've got a phone call here. What's the difference between this and the 92 riots? William from Glendale wants to know. William, 29, Glendale.
Hey, what's Adam? What's up, Adam? I just can't stop laughing. I've been on the phone for like 10 minutes. You're going great. Thank
Thanks
you so much.
It's driving me nuts.
Hey, so
yes,
So let's think about this, Adam. 1992, what was being burned and what was being looted?
What was being burned and looted back in the day was like stores and like South Central and grocery markets and electronics stores too.
Yes. Yeah, but no, South Central, Pico Union, the Valley, Pacoima. What's not being looted today or this weekend?
Pacoima.
Yes.
Right.
Now, why is it all the softy liberal cities such as Santa Monica, Fairfax, Melrose, why are they getting looted and the other places that used to be looted are 30 years ago almost, are being untouched? Why?
Well, it's probably, look, if I'm a looter, homeowner or business owner with a gun, I'm going to keep walking. And you go down to Pacoima and try to do some looting, you're going to get shot by a dude who lives in Pacoima who has a gun. Because Pacoima is must be 80% Hispanic at this point.
Yes.
And there's some dudes over there who work with their hands,
yes,
and they like their tools, and some of their tools are guns. So that would be a bad place to loot.
Well, the media not talking about this. Go ahead, Brian.
Yes, Brian.
I was almost, I think Adam alluded to it yesterday. I'm pretty sure like the looters seem to be going to the nicer parts of town and going to where there's, you know, Nike stores and REIs and blah, 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 blah. It would seem, I think Adam, you mentioned yesterday, they wised up. They're going to the nice parts of town. Say, why loot our own town? Our own area?
If you're going specifically for looting.
I think there's both. Yes. Yes, they do.
So
also, there's no guns in Santa Monica, which makes the looting
easier. not only guns, but look at the... I sent one of my camera guys out to cover all this footage, and I was shocked because I was watching the helicopter footage. I seen the guys, the looters, the protesters pushing the big trash cans, putting the barricades up, and I was thinking, oh, these are the Damien Football Williams of today. These are the gangbangers. These are all those people that we saw in 92. When I got the footage back, I was shocked. These are millennials. These are young people. These are kids who don't know what the fuck's going on. And none of them were even born in the 92 Olympics.
Yes.
The 92 riots.
Thanks.
That's what's going on. And their parents are going, not here. You want to go loot? You want to go riot? Go somewhere else.
Hold on a second, William. I have a thought. So Damien Football Williams is the guy that pulled Reginald Denny out of his truck and then took a cinder block and mashed his head, and then he went to jail. And then they worked hard to get him out of jail, and then he got out of jail, and I think he worked a little bit for Maxine Waters for a while, and then he killed somebody else. So turns out that one didn't turn out to have such a happy ending. And maybe he's back in jail, maybe he died in jail. But anyway, point is this. Two things. Here's an interesting combo. All young people have grown up playing video games. In video games, bullets don't tear into flesh. It's all virtual. You know, shoot, 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 right. nothing happens. Like virtual, you know, video games are tons of shooting, tons of chaos, tons of street fights, tons of everything, all those things in like Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
And then when they're done, they go have a fresca, take a piss, and take a nap. Okay, so you grow up with this world where it's like nothing ever... I grew up with sticks and sword fighting and wrestling and cuts and bruises, but there were sort of consequences to squaring off with somebody. They grew up in a virtual world where they have millions of man hours and woman hours playing a game where they never get a cut, and they've been telling their teachers to fuck off. There's no authority, and they have no respect for the cops. So virtual games, no respect for the cops, means 22-year-old chick wrestling with a cop in the middle of Fairfax. Yes, Brian.
Remember Dr. Jordan Peterson came on our show and extolled the virtues of rough play with kids, you know, like when they're learning the toddlers and stuff, like roughhousing and wrestling and stuff, to establish those mental boundaries of like, oh, this hurts and that doesn't hurt, or you can do this somewhere you can't.
Yes, well, you have to learn. Yes.
It's the energy. It's I think it's the combination of both, because like Dr. Drew said, people have been locked, literally locked away for 3 months. It's this pent up restless leg syndrome energy that you have to get out. And that, I mean, with the 4 year old, I'm the one who throws him around and we wrestle and stuff because he craves it. And if we've all been told to hunker down for 90 days.
Yeah, that's a perfect storm. All right. Let's see. We could take a break here. Let's see. I want to take a few more phone calls. So let's take a break and then we'll come back. I got some good phone calls up there. We'll be right back after this.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace Man, Jamie, 40, San Diego. Do we really need coming down the pipe and coming down the pike? What the hell is a pike anyway? Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, we're back. We're going to hop on, take some phone calls. We got a military guy from Virginia. I'm interested in Mike and other Mike, both Mikes, Hang On, and Aurora as well. I'm going to start with Mike, 38, Virginia. Mike?
Hey, Ace Man, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Bald, Gina, how you doing?
Hey.
Hey, I'm excited to talk to Mike because he's offering solutions, which is in a short supply these days. So let's hear it.
Yeah, Ace, you know, you talk about platitudes, Coach Platitude. So it seems like social media, a lot of platitudes lately, especially from people that have a lot of followers, a lot of power, a lot of celebrities. I'm not seeing a whole lot of concrete solutions. So with my background and my training and my expertise, I want to offer a couple of things I help with, or that I think will help us moving forward.
Please. And then I want to revisit. I want to circle back after you're done and figure out why platitudes are so satisfying to so many people.
They're safe. They're like pillows. You know
no,
what I, mean?
I
not,
know.
They're not going to scare you.
But when Garcetti says we have to reach out to our Native American community and LGBT community, and I just think the town's on fire. That means nothing. Right. Why does it feel like something to somebody? You know what I mean? Like, why do I go, okay, good. Okay, good.
Never thought about that.
Yeah, that's good. All right. Sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
Yeah, no problem. And so I have three things real quick. I'll say what they are, and then if you want to focus on one of them. But number one is decriminalize police departments around the country. Number two
demilitarize.
I'm sorry. Yeah, demilitarize. Right. Demilitarize. Uh-huh. And you can talk about Section 1033. It's where the Department of Defense gives a bunch of equipment to police departments in really so they can get new equipment in the military. But number two is going to be use community-oriented policing. That I went to UC Irvine there. I was a criminology student. And some of my professors had access to a longitudinal study that Santa Ana Police Department did that focused on these exact things, officers cracking down on Latinos. And it really worked. And it's a longitudinal study that can be replicated around the country. Number three.
Well, hold on. What do you mean cracking down on Latinos?
Is that the answer?
Yeah, what's
that?
Adam likes that idea.
No.
The problem with a lot of the Latino gangs, so they implemented things like after school programs, they empowered community leaders to come into the police department and talk to the lieutenants and the sergeants and the captains. And this is a really fascinating long-term study. It really worked. The results are there. So a lot of departments could look at that and say, hey, let's implement this community-oriented policing model.
Right.
It'll work, and you can repeat it. And then the third thing is cops, they go into the academy, right? They go out, they do their probation, they have a PT test maybe a couple times at the beginning of their career. That's about it for PT. And then they have to qualify on their firearms annually, right? They never have to qualify on anything like jujitsu or ground fighting techniques. Let's get that something where they have to focus on that once a year.
Every major police department. Hold on. PT is physical training?
Physical training. They'll have to do their PT in the academy, but those standards kind of go away. And especially with these restraint techniques, with like kneeling on the neck and causing the airway to collapse, those things. There's so many other things you can do, like arm bars. There's so many things that are not fatal and don't have the consequence of being fatal. Every major police department in this country, in a big area, has access to probably hundreds of Brazilian jiu-jitsu gyms. They can get a guy in there and create a program, a ground fighting technique program like we had in the Army, where you learn non-lethal holds. So those are my three suggestions.
Those are very good.
I don't know if you want to.
They're good. Let me jump in. So you bring up a good point, which is when the guys are in the academy, they're having to do the physical training and the grappling and that kind of stuff. Then they get out of there. Now you've been out of the academy for 20 years. You've re-upped your firearms every year. You've gone down and done your training with your firearms. But meanwhile, you put on 30 pounds and you've never re-upped your grappling skills or jiu-jitsu skills. So now when some young scrappy man of color is coming at you with a sharp stick, well, which discipline are you going to go to? The grappling skills or the one you've been practicing for the last 20 years, which is pulling the piece out and firing that? I completely agree. There also, I'm not a big fan of the teachers' unions because I think they're fucking up. They fuck up a lot of things. Like I believe a lot of the reasons a lot of the politicians don't want these charter schools is because of the unions and they're in with the unions and blah, blah, blah. Police unions sound like a bad idea to me as well. Maybe police unions and maybe teachers unions, maybe we shouldn't have those unions.
Well, they shouldn't be so powerful.
Well, the problem is if they exist, they're then powerful because they're going to, they have a big voting block. So it's like, the teachers' unions are not benefiting the kids, and the police unions are not benefiting the public. It's benefiting them. And I know if I talk to Garrigus about this, he'd surely agree. Right. But so, yes, these are simple things, which is instead of, every once a day or once a year, you have to re-up with your firearms, and you also have to re-up with your physical stuff. I completely agree. That makes total sense. And it's also, it's the kind of thing that we should be having a conversation about. Now, our problem is we have like two conversations. We have a conversation about black people having a target on their back because of systemic racism. And then we have another conversation about reaching out to the LGBT community. But a conversation about grappling, a plan where they go, you're right, there's a jiu-jitsu gym within 4 miles of every police precinct. Cut a deal with those people. Those guys would probably give you a great bargain basement rate on having classes and seminars, and then on weekends, and give the guys some incentive if they get to the yellow belt or brown belt or whatever. You bump them up. Yeah, give them a bonus or whatever, and get all those guys good with their hands and not the knee on the neck, which is not really a jiu-jitsu move, but the arm bar or the knee bars or the holds. Very good, Mike. You sound like I'd be happy if you were my neighbor.
Or my cop.
Well, I don't know if my neighbors feel that way, but I'll just add, I was overseas, Iraq, Afghanistan. The demilitarization part, you don't want to see police in your community dressed like they're in Iraq, in Afghanistan, body armor, M4s, helmets, blousing their pants and their boots. I mean, you want to see a guy that's professional, that's wearing his police uniform, that you feel is approachable. Is that approachable to go up to a guy that looks like he's about to go on a bin Laden raid? I don't think it is.
I agree. I think about the LAPD and those guys and all their black and all mm-hmm. the way they look like stormtroopers. I mean, it's a psychological thing. I agree. I don't know exactly what the answer is, but like LAPD, just the color of their uniform says, back off or you're going to get shot. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it. Let's talk to. Oh, but speaking of uniforms, Mike Lynch did remind me of an idea I've had many years ago. Well, actually, two ideas. Someone tweeted me and reminded me of an idea, and then this reminded me. I've always said We have a huge problem in L.A. with the homeless. Give them cop uniforms and make it look like we have a crazy right. presence on the street.
Like, right.
Those
downtown is blanketed in cops.
Those guys never leave their post. Look at them. He never punches out. But also, it would be funny. Mike said, well, yeah, but then what happens when you see the cop looting the stereo store? And I'm like, no, it just looked like he's running in and everyone else would run out when he ran in, you know?
That cop just pooped on the street.
I had two ideas. This has been going on for a long time. Give all those homeless guys cop uniforms and really have a presence, number one. Number two, somebody tweeted me this idea that I forgot about, but goddamn, is it true? We were talking to Bill yesterday, our Korean friend.
Yeah. Billy, the liquor store owner.
Right. Korean. Dad was killed working there some years ago, blah, blah, blah. But I always said down in South Central in L.A. in 92, there's plenty of pictures of Korean dudes on the roof of their liquor store with fucking bolt action rifles and a cigarette going, don't come near the front of this door. I will shoot your ass. And I always said, now we don't have enough Koreans to go around, but I said, if you have a business where you have the plastic owl on top of your roof so the seagulls won't shit all over the sign, put the fake Korean with the gun up there. Don't leave it out all year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, that's
don't
silly.
Don't get used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, don't put the owl on top of it, even if the seagulls shit on it.
That completely ruins the illusion.
No, you keep it and you use it sparingly, which is don't put it out for the 4th of July when the beach crowd is showing up. But when we have one of these big riots, put it out, put it on top, light that cigarette, hang it out.
Light the cigarette.
Put the owl, make sure the owl is not on it.
Very important.
See if that doesn't scare away a bunch of fucking people from looting your tennis shoe store.
Well, you know, we've come a long way, Adam, because now the picture's going around, and I don't know if they've made a difference. I haven't seen any of the after, only the before. A lot of people putting foam core or like neon posters on their store windows saying don't loot and this is an immigrant owned business. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely a wide chasm between how we used to do it and how we do it now.
Yeah. The thing about the immigrant owned is when you're setting Ferguson, Missouri on fire, everything there is sort of owned by the community or at least employed by the community. I don't think there's a Marcus of Queensbury rule for that. I really don't. It'd be nice if there was. Let's see. Let's talk to what I like to do to ward off the looters is I put my coexist bumper sticker out. Okay.
Yeah.
So that what that does is it makes everyone realize, hey, it's time for a cleanse. You know what I mean?
Come together.
Yeah, we need to come together.
You do that. I put the there's no room for hate sign up.
That's
and
nice,
then they know to go elsewhere.
Right, Mike. 36 Ventura County.
Yo, Adam.
YOLO, dude.
Hey, what's up, man? I wish Mike the cop was still on the phone. Before I get to my question, just YouTube video. It's been around probably almost 10 years now. It's titled either Never Talk to the Police or Don't Talk to the Police, like ever. And it's literally a law school lecture. It's about 50 minutes. And one of the students is like in his 40s, and he's even a police officer. And after the law professor is done explaining why, it is almost never, never helpful for you to speak to a police officer, at least without an attorney present, because it never helps you. It will only hurt you. And if you watch that video, it'll help anybody in so many situations with these cops. Because growing up in L.A., Adam, like you, I've been in situations where, you know, these cops show up and they're just like the geniuses on the scene. You know, they have no idea what's happened. They've been called somewhere and it's just like, okay, sir, you over there, you over here. And no, don't stop there. Come back here. No. Blah, blah. And, you know, they just start taking control because that's what they do. But anyways, I want to get to my point, which was about California. I've read all your books. Thanks. I know you're a native like I am. How, like, I'm totally almost, I've lost all my faith a little bit in humanity, but sticking to just California and what we've seen, not just the politicians, but also the people, and I'll stop this this word vomit soon. How stupid have people really gotten from what you've seen? Like, in general, the public.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, yes. They say not to engage crazy.
Okay.
Okay. Speaking of which.
Yes. I'm thinking about this. I know a lot of intelligent people, and I know a lot of educated people. So what we're who believe in a lot of crazy shit, which is to say, I don't think it's about stupid as we used to define stupid. You know, when I was growing up, well, you had one yardstick to measure whether you're stupid or smart, and those were your grades. That was your report card. And that's the way we spoke about it. We'd go, that kid's smart, man, sit next to them during the test. That kid's stupid. You don't want to sit next to Adam Carolla or Ray Oldhoff or Chris Boehm during a test.
For example.
And so it was like stupid and smart, and we got it. And then at some point, people figured out, well, there's other types of intelligence, and it's not all just about being getting a good score on your SATs. What I realize is there's a lot of people I know who are educated, well-educated, and they also have a lot of resources. They have a lot of information. They read, they watch the news, they're up on current events and so on and so forth. They also make a lot of bad, not decisions like drunk driving, but they process information in a bizarre way. Such as as I've always told you, my wife's friend who was screaming that Matt Damon needed to shut up when he was talking about Al Franken not being a rapist. You know,
they have the same information as us, but they come to the bad conclusions.
Yes. And they're not stupid and they're educated. So I started to really realize that what we're missing, what we're calling stupid, is horse sense, common sense, like a basic common sense, you know, where I say to people all the time, well, you know, why would so-and-so do this? Or like someone, as I've mentioned before, like you'd say, Mark Zuckerberg gave $6 million to malaria eradication in Africa. And then somebody goes, $6 million, that's nothing. And it's like, that's $6 million more than they had before. That's $6 million more than you've ever offered up. And please, let's use some common sense, some horse sense, like figuring out, solving problems, so-and-so. Like I was looking at, like, Lance Armstrong. I was watching the Lance Armstrong doc. Everyone hates Lance Armstrong. Well, Lance Armstrong has raised kajillions of dollars for cancer and helped kajillions of people in cancer. Yeah, but he lied. Okay, fine. What have you done for cancer, number one? And then number two, would you prefer that Lance Armstrong was never born? Or that he was born and he worked at a supermarket his entire life?
Right.
I'm happy that Lance Armstrong raised
that you don't compete in.
Right. Raised kajillions of dollars for cancer and saved countless lives.
When you were talking about him so much last week, I kept thinking about that he's one of the most complicated people of our generation because, yes, he did some despicable things to other people, to teammates, blah, blah, blah. But Livestrong is a world-class organization. I know I've worked sort of with them and been involved with them, and they do amazing things.
And have saved many, many people. Or brought awareness, or done whatever. Just, it's countless.
Raised tons of money.
Tons.
At the very least.
Millions and millions and billions, probably. Okay, so I am happy for Lance Armstrong's birth onto this planet. and Matt Damon as well, and Al Franken. So none of those people that we're talking about are stupid. They're all educated, but they're missing a horse sense, a common sense. And I believe that common sense is something that needs to be worked on and nurtured and sort of watered and fertilized and sort of taken care of like a crop. And the second you just go into a full digital world, the second you go into your cubicle with the air conditioning and you start checking shit on your phone and looking up your FICO score on your computer, you've gotten away from that. We have to go back into this analog world where we're literally solving physical problems and tilling soil and, you know, putting up shelves in your garage. Like, we need some of that because we're losing our ability, not in the smarts department. We're going to have the most educated, smartest people on the planet who think in a super unclear and unrational and nonlinear kind of way because we've lost the common kind of horse sense. And if you think about it, what's all the education and all the information going to do for you if you're screaming that Matt Damon needs to shut up?
Right. Well, but to bring up, sorry to interrupt you, but to bring a full circle, this is going to sound very almost new agey, but like, get back to the beach. How good do you feel after you've been like body surfing or just playing in the ocean and stuff? And like your phone, can't bring your phone with you. You know what I mean? You're kind of one with nature in a way. And that sounds very, you know.
No, I'm going to say, but get to the beach and build a sandcastle. Like yeah, go there and exactly. Build something. Go there and do something. That's the thing. We've lost. I am telling you this. Just get the Grubhub guy to bring it by. Just hop on Amazon and tell them to drive. This drop everything off at your doorstep and or the throwaway culture, like whatever the handle breaks on your travel mug. And you're like, just toss it away. Go to Amazon. Get another one. There is something so important about looking at your travel mug with the busted handle and thinking, what would be the best way to mend this? Like, should I use white glue? No, that's wood glue. That's probably not good. What about epoxy? Maybe that's a little overkill. Like, go down into the garage, select the things. I mean, I just had my son just busted the chain on his bike. Actually, he didn't bust it. He lent it out to his husky friend. Natalia and everyone went out for a bike ride the other day, and the chain broke. And I said, okay. And Sonny was due to go for a ride the following day with Peter around the Rose Bowl. And the bike had no chain. So first thing I said to Natalia is, where is the chain? And they're like, I don't know, on the sidewalk under the bridge. Like, we abandoned the chain. And I said, okay, come on, Sonny, get in the car. It was dark. I said, get your flashlight, your phone. Went to the underpass, literally drove around, backed out, whatever. Found the chain.
Party boys.
No.
Tales from the Cheap, Sonny, yes. You're on.
I hope you said tardy boys and not hardy boys. The tardy boys went out. We found the chain. And I said, okay, now we have the chain. And I took the chain and I said, okay, I'm going to bring it in with me to the bike shop tomorrow and get a new chain. I thought, because I'm old school, the length would be enough. So the following morning, meanwhile, Peter's going to come over at noon and get the thing fixed. I said, I went in the bike shop. I brought the chain. I said, I got the chain. I need the same length chain. They said, how many speeds is the bike? I said, I don't know, but why don't you just give me the same length chain? They said, oh, no, there's a difference in chains now in how many speeds. I said, okay, how do we determine that? They said, just go to the rear hub and count the cogs. How many gears are there? I go, oh, I don't know. So I called Sonny, and I said, Sonny, go to your bike, go count it. He said, 9. I said, count again. He said, 9. I said, very well.
You know, the famous 9 speed.
Yes. I hung up the phone. I went back. I said, 9. The guy got me the right chain. Then he said, the chain may be a little long, even though it's the right chain. The length may not be right. I said, well, I'll keep the old chain and I'll match it up to the new chain's length. The old chain was kind of bent up. I said, fine. I said, then give me a chain break. Because I used to do this shit when I was a kid, there's a tool called a chain break. It's basically a little corkscrew where the chain goes through it and a little thing pushes the link out. It'll push the little rod out so you can make it the right length. I then brought it home and, like I said, Sonny turned the bike over and we threaded it through all the cogs and gears and everything, cut 3 or 4 links off it, put it back, like put the whole thing, lubed it up. And I got my little problem solve on that morning. I hadn't done it in many, many years. And during that time, I wasn't like yelling at the TV set or screaming at the politicians. We were just trying to get this chain the right length. But we need a certain amount of that. We've ignored it. We're now at the point where you go, just tell the bike guy to come over and fix the bike, or you drop it off, or tell him to come pick it up, and then he'll fix it, and then we'll just buy a new bike, or whatever it is. And we're losing. We're more educated than we ever were. We're arguably have much more information. It's the common sense The common sense we're losing. And by the way, that's what this whole pandemic thing has brought out. You know what I mean? Like, hey, don't lay on the beach. Common sense would fight against that. Common sense says no. And then you go, common sense says, don't go in the subway. Don't go in the elevator. Don't return people who are positive to a nursing home. But walking on the beach, I don't think so. That's what common sense does for us. And if we abandon that, it's dangerous. Yes.
I have a drain snake with an auger coming, and I am so excited.
Oh, really?
My God. They canceled my first order. I don't know why, but so I ordered it again. I've never done it. I can't wait. I think it's going to be so satisfying.
Well, enjoy this moment.
Tina's monster.
Because when you fucking retrieve that thing from the toilet bowl and a huge maxi pad covered with pubic hair comes out
at you
will not be celebrating like you are
today. So happy,
it's the shower, but it could be the same ending. Also, you know, when you were talking about analog versus digital, I don't know if you saw the picture. It went viral, actually, a video. Guess who did show up at one of the protests? And guess who I am 100% sure did not get caught up in rioting and especially looting?
Oh,
guess what?
Mike Rowe.
Hey, Mike, he's talking about you, you fuckass.
No, Logan Paul did get caught up.
I was going to say, he did get caught up.
No, not Logan Paul, the Amish.
Oh, really?
The Amish showed up with their buttons and their buckles and signs and
homemade signs.
Stood quietly and just spoke their very silent and polite truth. And I don't think got caught up at looting the van store.
Speaking of looting,
they're Converse guys.
Right.
By the way, speaking of looting, Billy, who owns the liquor store, has a GoFundMe page as of a few hours ago, and it's raised almost $28,000 now.
Whoa!
So please participate.
That's wonderful.
St. Regis Liquor on 3rd Street, if you're looking to Google that or whatever.
The headline is Save the St. Regis.
I don't know if you guys all saw the footage of the guy in the convertible Rolls Royce rolling in to town. Did you guys see that?
Yeah, and we couldn't figure out who it was, but I think we know now. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. Who was that?
I was told.
Frankie Muniz?
Yes, and he was with, my friend said she figured it out. I think it was Ray J.
Was it Ray J?
That's what I was told, but I didn't. We were all trying to figure it out. And she goes, I think it's Ray J. Like, okay, that was anticlimactic.
All right, last call. Aurora, 54, Palm Desert.
Yes.
How are you? Protesters, good. How are you doing?
Good. You and Dennis Prager were out here for the Indian Wells speaker series last year. My husband and I saw you both, and we loved you.
Thanks.
So you're kind of familiar with the area that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody is going to have a protest on our beautiful street of El Paseo between the hours of 3 to 5 today.
Mm-hmm.
And people were talking to each other on Instagram through these people that are going to have this protest. And people are hashtagging on Twitter that it's El Paseo. We have Gucci. And I don't see how this is going to end well.
Oh, you have a lot of high-end retail.
Yeah, they're already boarding up the windows, and they're stopping through traffic. And, you know, we have our sheriff wasn't going to follow the laws in regards to the lockdown. I don't call it a quarantine, by the way. And if you wanted to start your business, he didn't have a problem with it, our sheriff. So I'm hoping that he'll be proactive, but I'm a little frightened by this.
You know, it's interesting, the boarding up. I'm so amazed. You see these guys, they're coming at, you know, they're coming at these boarded up windows or these gated up places, and they appear to have like a Walkman and a roller skate. And the next thing you know, they've busted down the steel gate. It's like, I will give the devil their due. These kids, it's crazy with no, you know, again, it's interesting. I haven't seen it, but there is a line of battery-operated tools now that is insane, that are really effective. Like, you could get a battery-operated grinder, put a thin cutting wheel on it, get a small can of WD-40, no, Molly Lubes, actually more effective, and spray it on, and like, get into anything.
It's the anarchist cookbook.
Yes.
Yeah, what are you doing?
All right, that's Ray J in the video.
Yeah, that's what also, they said.
My favorite video of the whole week was during the same melee, the scuffle that was on Fairfax or going on CBS, Television City or whatever it was. This one kid, you guys have probably all seen it, he chucked a water bottle at the security that was at CBS, and within 3/10 of a second of chucking the water bottle at the, not at the cops, but at the security, was run over by a dumpster. Did you guys see this?
Let's see.
No, oh, it's so good. He's in the red shirt. He goes, all right, fuckers, picks up it, throws it at him.
Oh!
Boom. Like he just get plowed.
Got him good.
And I hate to think of myself as this guy, but I was watching going, good. You picked,
yeah, no.
You ran at security. You picked up. By the way, these aren't cops.
Yeah.
These are immigrant guys. These are black guys and Mexican guys who are getting $17 an hour.
Those are not your oppressors. Those are not your oppressors. There's no reason to throw things at them. They're trying to keep the CBS from burning down.
And speaking of that, I don't know if you saw Ken Jennings' response on Twitter, a guest of the show recently. It was made me think of you. It says they're showing a picture of, and it says the Cincinnati police pulled down the American flag at the Justice Center and replaced it with thin blue line. Infuriating picture from a friend. Ken Jennings says, let's just give tactical gear and near unlimited authority to some of the dumber guys from your high school. What could go wrong?
Yeah, well, that's who the guy, that's who the cops are, sadly. All right, let me hit Method Men, and then we'll bring Cesario in. We'll take a break. We'll bring Cesario in, right? All right. Method Men, fresh approach to grooming. Staying clean, fresh, should be fuss-free. Body washes. By the way, y'all, I'm wearing their deodorant right now, and it is so good. It's not. It doesn't smell like deodorant. I hate it when guys smell Red Zone, Power Stick, and all that, and it's like it smells like deodorant. Stuff just smells good. Clean design, inside and out, sophisticated, nature-inspired fragrances. Keep your body and your pits and your hair nice and fresh. Actually, use the Sea and Surf. Sea and Surf used a body wash the other day on my personal parts, and it smells so good.
Yeah, I used the body wash too, Adam. We got some sent in. I had the Cypress Pine.
Nice.
Ultra fresh.
We'll have a junk off after the show. See who's fresher down there. Save 15% with the code Adam when you go to Method Men. That's METHODMEN.com. Visit methodmen.com. Get fresh without the fuss and save 15% with the code Adam. It's good stuff. I am telling you, get a scent, get a sniff of that. All right, quick break. Back with Rotten Tomatoes. We'll play with, and Chet Waterhouse, I'm guessing, too. Do that with Jeff Cesario right after this.